And we're going to start out this morning with a picture of something that a lot of you remember. How many have ever played the game of Trouble? All right. How many of you played it this past week? Anybody? I thought I might because we had some grandsons over, and that's one of the games in our kids' game closet is Trouble. So you remember the game. If you haven't played it in a while, you can see there on the picture, and you can pick which color you want to be. And of course, you got the little bubble in the middle with the die in it, and you push that, and it was at a six, right? Maybe a one or a six to get out. And then as you're going around the board, the other players, everybody's trying to get all of their little pieces all back around to get to their color and get up in the safe zone. But while you're trying to do that, why do they call it Trouble? Because one of the other players is going to roll a four, and you're four spots ahead of them. And sure enough, your little green man's got to go all the way back because the red guy jumped on top of him. You're in trouble. You've been in trouble. That can be a frustrating game, right? A frustrating game because there's some troublemakers playing Trouble. And of course, that's not you. That's the other players. You're the recipient of the trouble. Well, we're going to think a little bit this morning about messengers and trouble. I ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We've started a study in this book. It's a book of 13 chapters written by Paul to the local church there in Corinth and to all the saints who in all Achaia in the area where Corinth was, the Roman province there in the southern part of Greece. And we have begun to think a little bit about Paul, the writer, and Timothy, who was with him there, and his greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how far we've gotten so far. But we want to continue on this morning, and we're going to think a little bit about this idea. Messenger is what we've kind of entitled the whole study of 2 Corinthians. Because we see Paul, an apostle, we see him as a messenger sent by God. But we've also been reminded in our introductory studies that it's not just about Paul, it's not just about Timothy, it's also about the Corinthians who are receiving the letter. They're messengers too, and not just about them, but it's about you and it's about me if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Messengers in trouble. Before we read this passage, I want us to pray, and then we're going to read verses 3 to 11 and begin to discuss this issue of trouble and being messengers in trouble. So let's commit this to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that you are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are God, our Father. And we thank you so much for that, and that we can come to you, those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, we can come this morning knowing that you are speaking to us through your word. Father, I pray that our hearts will be open, that our ears will be open, our minds will be open, and our hearts deep within us will be open. Lord, we believe you want to tell us something this morning that's important. Not just for us to hear, but for us to apply in our lives every day of our lives starting right now. And Lord, as always, we would pray for any here who do not know the Lord Jesus. Father, may, as they hear your word this morning, may your Holy Spirit convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. May they cry out for forgiveness. You are the God who is ready to forgive. And we thank you for that. Father, do a great work among us this morning. We trust you for that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. The theme of this section is comfort. But we want to look at the context of that, because really the whole need for comfort comes from the fact that there's trouble. So we want to start out this morning just looking at some of the Greek words in this passage that Paul, by the Holy Spirit of God, uses to describe trouble. You notice there in verse 4 and also in verse 8, and that may vary depending on the translation that you have. It probably says tribulation or trouble or affliction. Probably one of those words is this translation of this Greek word thlipsis. Wow, you have to be really have a mouth that goes a different direction to really speak Greek, I think. But here's the thought of this word. It's the thought of pressure being applied. Now, this is the noun, but there's also a verb in verse 6 that is based, in fact, I believe the noun is based on the verb, and this you find it there in verse 6, and that's going to be translated afflicted or distressed. So notice there again, in verse 4, he says, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. Those are the same Greek words. And then down in verse 8, we find also that Paul says he doesn't want us to be ignorant of his trouble. Same word. And then in verse 6, we see the verb form of that. Now, if we are afflicted. Again, the emphasis here is on pressure being applied. You may think of grapes being crushed and squeezed out, or olives being crushed or squeezed out. Those would be two fruits in that day that they would be very familiar with, being crushed, being pressed, put into a wine press, into an olive press, and mashed down as hard as the machine could do it, or the individual could do it with whatever tool they were using, with the purpose of getting the juice out, getting the oil out. He says, that's what we're experiencing. Trouble, pressure upon us. But there are some other words. In verses 5, 6, and 7, we have the noun pathema, which is translated sufferings. And then in verse 6, also the verb form pasco there, to suffer. Notice again in verse 5, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Notice in verse 6, at the end of the verse, the same sufferings which we also suffer. Down in verse 7. We know that as you are partakers of the suffering. So there we have an emphasis by the Spirit of God on this idea of experiencing something that is unpleasant or painful. That's what it means to go through suffering. To have an unpleasant or more often a painful experience in your life. One other word I want to bring your attention to is down in verse 8, and it's the Greek word bario. Notice in verse 8, he says that, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened. Burdened, there's the other word that he uses for trouble, this experience of difficulty. And here we have the idea to be under a heavy weight. To be under a heavy weight. I accidentally put heavy and weight together, so you might get the idea of being under a heavyweight boxer, okay? Maybe that's what the my intention wasn't, but came out to be. Being under a heavy weight. So here we have the idea of being in a situation or circumstances where we feel pressure, where we're experiencing pain, where we have the burden of a heavy weight upon us. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there now. I would suggest that we shouldn't be surprised by similar trouble in our lives if we are seeking to carry out our responsibilities as messengers for God. It's very likely that as we go into a culture that is against God, into a world that is orchestrated behind the scenes by Satan himself, as we deal with individuals who are controlled by their own fleshly desires, we should expect to have pressure applied to us. We should not be surprised by experiencing unpleasantness or pain. We shouldn't think, what's going on here, when we find burdens on ourselves. In fact, if we are not experiencing those things, maybe we are not carrying out our responsibilities. You know, you may be experiencing these things. You may be saying, Mark, I know exactly what you're talking about. And Paul's not talking here just about the difficulties of life, though that can be worse because you're a believer. But he's talking particularly because he's representing the Lord Jesus in the culture in which he lived, and the same should be true of us. Or maybe it's not true of some of us. Well, hopefully, as we study the book of 2 Corinthians, we're going to be encouraged, we're going to be challenged, we're going to be motivated, we're going to be thrust out by the Spirit of God to be bolder in our culture. That's a difficult thing, that we want to be sensitive about as we go through this. So what we would like to do as we think about going through this suffering, we want to notice three actions in these verses, verses 3 to 11. Notice three actions that should be true of us as messengers whenever we experience times of trouble. Again, we shouldn't be surprised by the trouble. We should expect to encounter pressure, to experience suffering, to endure burdens, because we are messengers. So let's look at these three actions. We're going to draw them out of this passage. And here's the first action that we should take, is we should expect comfort from God. Messengers in trouble should expect comfort from God. Look at four things here. First of all, expect comfort from God because of who He is. Look at verse 3 with me again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Paul begins, as soon as he finishes his introduction there at the end of verse 2, he launches into something that we should be launching into consistently ourselves, and that is praise to God. To bless someone means to speak well of someone. So when we bless God, He's the blesser. He blesses us. But as we bless Him, we are speaking well of Him. We are praising Him. Notice how Paul identifies God in these verses. First of all, He's God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He brings out that relationship between the Father and the Son. We see here the Lord Jesus in both His humanity and His deity. In His humanity, God was His God. He became a human being like us, yet apart from sin. But we see also His deity, because He is the Son of God. not a son of God like we can become in a very different way than him, but that eternal one who had no beginning, who has all the characteristics of God because he is God, and that beautiful relationship of intimacy between the Father and the Son. But he goes on and he also identifies God, the one that he's praising here, as the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. That word mercies really carries a thought of compassion. And if you're in a time of trouble, aren't you appreciative of someone who shows compassion on you? Who has mercy on you? Who sees you in the difficulty of your situation and cares about you? This morning at the end of the Lord's Supper, we read notes from several of the believers here in the local meeting who had gone through and are going through times of difficulty. And they both expressed their appreciation for the care, for the love and the care of people who had reached out to them. And of course, people had reached out to them in compassion. And thirdly, he identifies him as God of all comfort. He is the source of all comfort. And here we have another Greek word, paraklesis, that we have translated in these verses most of the time as comfort, but also as consolation. Comfort and consolation, when you see them in these verses, same word in the Greek, that's a noun. And then we also have the verb form, which of course in English is the same, a comfort. Parakaleo, and literally this means to call near. To call near. What an interesting word to have translated comfort. It's not the word I would have thought that would be translated comfort or console. To call near. But you see, that's God comforting. And really, that is you when you comfort someone. You call someone near to you. You go to where they are and you express your concern and your identification with what they're going through and that you care about them and that you love them. This idea of calling near, it could be with the purpose of encouragement. It could be with the purpose of exhortation. We have to really look at the context, and it's a real key word, as I mentioned in this passage, in verses 3 through 7. You'll find either the noun or the verb form 10 times. 10 times in 7 verses. God is emphasizing here, through Paul, that he is the God of all comfort. And you know, I am so thankful that the trouble I go through does not change the character of God. I hope you're thankful for that too. It doesn't matter what kind of comfort you experience, whether you brought it on yourself, whether it's coming to you from outside, whether it's bubbling up, it seems like, within your very being, or it's an attack from the culture. It doesn't change God's character. It doesn't change God's character. He is still the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is still the Father, the source of all compassion, the God of all comfort. And if you like a little alliteration here to help you remember to put in your notes, you got 3 C's: Christ, compassion, and comfort. Christ, compassion, and comfort. Expect comfort from God because of who He is. Oh, messengers in trouble should also expect comfort from God so that we can comfort others. So that we can comfort others. Now, when God comforts us in our trouble, we are definitely comforted. We are consoled in our difficulty, our pressure. We are encouraged by God's comfort in our suffering and in our pain. He comforts us. That's what Paul said here. He said, God, the God of all comfort, is the one who comforts us. How does he do that? How does he comfort someone? Well, I think that one obvious way he comforts us is through the Word of God. Whether you have a written copy or a copy on your phone or you've memorized it all or whatever, God can use his Word, and particularly by his Holy Spirit. Take the Word of God. Again, another very important reason to be in the Word of God every day. not only to hear the Word of God, but to be in the Word of God, to read the Word of God. You might say, I don't understand the Word of God when I read it. Read it anyway. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who will open it up to you. And the more you read, the more you will understand. Use a commentary or devotional help if that benefits you. But be in the Word of God. Ask someone if you don't understand the meaning of something. Look into it. Dig into it. Because there, God wants to take His Word. And just like the shepherd would take the oil and pour it onto the little lamb who had an injury, so God will take His Word by His Spirit and pour it right into the suffering place. He knows where it is. He knows where it is. You might go to the doctor and they're trying to figure out, what's the problem? Where's the problem? We can't quite determine it yet. God knows where your pain is. God knows where the burden is. God knows where the pressure is. And He is willing and able to comfort you through His Word, by His Spirit, via other believers. Why is it important to fellowship with other believers? The number of reasons. Here's one. So that you can be comforted by them. So that God can use them to minister into your life. We need to be involved in each other's lives. And even if that's through technology, it's best, I think, to try to be together. But we can't always do that. But we can interact. And sometimes God will even use circumstances to bring comfort to us, to remind us that He is in control. And the circumstances may be exactly what put us in a difficult position. But then God will show through His power. And it may be in a little way. It may not take away the storm, but in the storm, He may touch an area of your life through a circumstance, and you experience the comfort of God. You're in the Word of God. You're seeing the character of God. You're being reminded of His relationship with the Lord Jesus, your Savior. You're being reminded that He has compassion on you and that He wants to comfort you. But let me tell you something from this verse. God's purpose in comforting you is much, much bigger than you. It's much, much bigger than our comfort individually. Here's a quote that I read. I thought was very good. I apologize for not remembering who wrote it so that I could have given them credit. But here's the quote. God doesn't comfort me so that I will be comfortable, but so that I will be a comforter. God doesn't comfort me so that I will be comfortable, but rather so that I will be a comforter of others. God's design in comforting us is other-centered. Do you see that in the verse? Who comforts us in all our tribulation. God is there. He's going to comfort you in any trouble that you experience. Why does He do that? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. He's saying, I want you to take the comfort with which I comfort you, and I want you to take that, and I want you to be involved in somebody else's life that needs comforting. Will you do that? He wants to use you. He wants to use you to be a comforter. And you might say, well, I'm not a very comforting person. In fact, I've had people tell me that. I'm not a very comforting person, so I don't think God's calling me to do that. If God has ever comforted you, He is calling you to be a comforter. It doesn't matter if that's a special gift you have. You may not have the gift of mercy. If you do have the gift of mercy, then it'll be more natural for you to be comforting. But all of us are called. Anyone who's ever comforted, we're called to be a comforter, to share the Word of God, to share the love of God, to share the care of God, the compassion and comfort of God with the comfort you receive. Again, how has God comforted you? Look back in your life. Think of a time of difficulty. How did God comfort you? Was it through His Word? Was it through a promise of the Scripture? Was it through an example of someone in the Word of God? Take that and share it. Share it with someone. Send an email. Post it on Facebook. Call them up and share the verse. Write it in a card. use that to comfort someone else. Maybe another individual has comforted you by what they said. Take what they said. I just gave you a quote from somebody else. Quote someone who has ministered to you. If you've seen their example and that's comforted you, share their testimony with someone else. You can do that. God will use you to do that. Sometimes somebody comforts you just by being there. I've had that experience. They didn't say anything. They were just there. And sometimes that's what we need. And sometimes that's what someone else needs. You can be there. God will use you. And you say, I'm weak. God says His strength is made perfect in weakness. But I'm getting ahead to chapter 12, so we've got to hold up on that. But God will take your weakness, and His strength will be made complete in that weakness. And I'm so thankful that not only does trouble not change the character of God, trouble doesn't change the purposes of God. No, He's left you here to be a messenger, to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus to others. He's left you here to be a messenger of comfort, to be a comforter. And that hasn't changed. And when you go through difficulty, and if you're in the midst of deep trial right now, that doesn't change God's intent for you. Thirdly, you should, as a messenger in trouble, you should expect comfort from God that is sufficient for your trouble. Notice this in verse 5. You might not catch it at first, but notice, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, let's pause there for a minute. The sufferings of Christ. That's sufferings that we have experienced in our own lives or are experienced or will experience because we're identified with the Lord Jesus. We're identifying ourselves with the Lord Jesus. We're associated with Him. We're seeking to let Him live His life through us. And as a result, we suffer. And Paul says, you know what? Those sufferings abound. They overflow the banks. Yesterday afternoon, we took two of our grandsons to the Greensboro Science Center for a couple of hours. And one of the rooms that the grandson I was with, he wanted to stay in, was the weather room. And it had some videos of blizzards, and it had a video of a flood. I don't know if it was caused by a hurricane or what, obviously a torrential rains or maybe a broken dam, but the water was overflowing. It was carrying cars down the street. The water was. They were floating. And Paul said, that's what it's like for me in my life. The sufferings are overflowing the banks, but don't stop there, Paul says. He'd read the rest of the verse. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, our comfort, also abounds through Christ. It's equal. Whatever the suffering you're going through, whatever your trouble, God promises that His comfort is going to be equal to that. It's going to be sufficient. It's always going to be exactly what you need. It's just the amount you need it, just the time you need it. And trouble doesn't change God's supply. It's not like God said, okay, I'm gonna comfort you, but whoa, that's a little heavy there. You'll have to handle that on your own. No. No matter what you're experiencing in trouble, His supply has not changed. It's infinite. It'll never run dry. And then fourthly here, under expecting comfort from God as a messenger in trouble, expect comfort from God that is for the blessing of others. Now this is similar to what he said in verse 4, but he expands on it in verses 6 and 7. Now if we are afflicted, it's for your consolation and your salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. He says, hey, it's for your consolation and salvation either way. Both your trouble and your comfort are intended to provide the blessings of consolation. That's our word, comfort. And salvation. Now here he's not talking about salvation from sin, the penalty of sin, but rather deliverance through this difficulty, whatever that person is experiencing, that God will use you. So when you're afflicted, The way you handle that affliction, the way you endure that trouble, is an effective example of God's enabling. And that can comfort someone who is going through trouble regarding themselves, regarding someone else. So when you go through trouble, you're learning so that you can share effective comfort. And also you are being an example. Because again, as you're coming near people, they're seeing you. And we'll talk about transparency in just a moment. But they're doing that. And then when God ultimately rescues them, that they don't collapse under the pressure or the weight, it's going to be partly a result of you and your example through what you've experienced, the trouble you're going through. God will use that to encourage them. The comfort that you receive, God will use that to comfort them, to deliver them. When you're comforted, it provides ammunition for you to comfort others. Trouble does not change God's ability. He can turn water into wine. He can turn the sea into dry land. He can turn a desert into pools of water. And He did all of that. We have it recorded in the Word of God. And He can also turn trouble into comfort. God is able to do that. And when trouble enters your life, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, when trouble enters your life, be assured that God's comfort is right around the corner. It's right around the corner. You might say, well, it's a mighty long wall to the end of that corner. Oh, maybe so, but at just the right time, God's comfort is going to come around that corner. It's going to minister to you. Likely you've experienced it at some point in the past. God wants to minister His comfort to you. Messengers in trouble should expect comfort from God. And here's our second action. Messengers in trouble should exercise faith in God. Messengers in trouble should exercise faith in God. And we see this in verses 8 through 10. And we're going to find some transparency about Paul here, because he goes into a personal example to really make application to this truth that he has just taught regarding comfort and trouble. First of all, here's how we can exercise faith in God. It's by being transparent about your experiences, requiring faith in times of trouble. Verse 8, Paul says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." We want you to know. We're not trying to hide this thing from you. You know, some of the people who were accusing Paul and saying he wasn't really an apostle of God, and Paul, of course, is writing 2 Corinthians in a big way to defend his apostleship so that he might defend the message. But they might have said, well, hey, yeah, look at all the trouble Paul's going through. Is that what you want? That's the kind of God you want to follow? God is going to let all that happen. Don't listen to Paul. Don't listen to Paul. We'll tell you how to be happy and safe and wealthy and healthy. No, I don't know if that's exactly what they were saying, but a lot of people are saying that today. But Paul said, no, I want to be open. I want to be honest. The trouble, notice there that the trouble in verse 8 came to them. We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. The way it says it here in the New King James, the trouble came to them. They didn't go looking for the trouble. They weren't trying to provoke the trouble. They were just being messengers. They were seeking to represent the Lord Jesus. And the trouble came to them. He says it was in Asia. They knew that area. That was not part of the land where they were. That was across the sea. They were there in Europe, but they had heard about it. If they hadn't, he wanted to make sure they knew. And we don't have the details of that here. It doesn't really matter. The point is that they experienced trouble in Asia. In fact, he describes that trouble in this way. You want to talk about being transparent? What does Paul say? He says that we had a burden. We had a weight, and it was beyond measure. I couldn't even measure it. It was beyond any way that I could seek to explain to you the pressure and the burden that we were under. And it was above strength. He said, I'll be honest with you. I'll be transparent with you. I couldn't handle it. We think, wow, Paul? Man, this guy, he's talked to the Lord Jesus in person. God is using him to write the Scripture. He's starting churches. He's all over several continents. He said, I couldn't handle it. This was too much for me. He said, in fact, we despaired even of life. We were convinced that we were going to die because of this burden. The sentence of death was in us. Literally, the answer of death. The question was this, are we going to die from this? And they said the only logical answer to that question was yes, you're going to die from this. That's how bad the trouble, the tribulation, the pressure, the difficulty, the weight, the suffering was. There was no conceivable way to escape death. And Paul said, I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to lay it out there for you. This is real life. Secondly, be transparent about your temptation to trust yourself in times of trouble. Can you believe that Paul is going to admit this? What does he say there in verse 9? Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. What is he saying? What's he insinuating? I was tempted to trust myself. We were tempted to say, hey, we've been through a lot of problems. Man, and later in the book of 2 Corinthians, he's going to list all the stuff he faced. He said, I'd been through a lot. You know, maybe he thought, I can handle this. This is going to be okay. But see, he said, you know what? This desperate situation convinced us that we could not handle it ourselves. Maybe they had been trusting temporarily in themselves. Aren't we like this? Aren't we like this? God got me through that. Thank you, God. That was so difficult. I believe I can handle this one. I believe I can do it. I believe I can take this burden. Paul would say, don't do that. See, every burden is a burden that you can't handle. Paul admitted it to the Corinthians. He admitted it to us. He admits it to everyone who reads the Word of God. Thirdly, be transparent about your decision to trust God in times of trouble. He didn't try to make himself look like he didn't need to do that. No, he goes on there in verse 9 to say that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. But in God. That's where our trust is. That's where our trust should have been in the beginning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, writing to the church of God, saying, I want you to have grace and peace from God, blessing the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort. He said he'd been comforted by God. He said, you know what, I trust in God. And I'll admit that. I'll lay it right out there. I want you to know that God who raises the dead, you know, he needed that, didn't he? He thought he was going to die. I'm not saying that he thought necessarily he was going to be raised from the dead if he did die, but he knew God could do it and that God one day would do it and will do it. And the Bible teaches that. We're going to see that in 2 Corinthians also in chapter 5. One day, those who know the Lord Jesus, our bodies are going to be raised up from the dead and made new. We look forward to that. We can trust in the Lord. We should trust in the Lord. And finally here, be transparent about your deliverance through faith in times of trouble. He shares that in verse 10. Speaking of God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. Now here in the King James and the New King James and some other translations, we have basically deliverance in the past, a deliverance in the present, and deliverance in the future. Some translations based on another manuscript or other manuscripts would have more deliverance in the past, deliverance in the near future, and deliverance in the far future. But either way you look at it, Paul was saying, God is the deliverer, and I was delivered, and it was by faith. Because I exercised faith in God. I trusted God. I didn't trust myself. I knew I couldn't handle it. And whatever that death threat was that they were facing, God delivered them from it. They trusted and He delivered. And he said, whatever I'm facing now, whatever I face in the future, I'm trusting God for his deliverance according to his will and his way. You know, in our Christ for Kids Club at Murphy, Ron Murdoch is taking us through the book of Daniel. He's taking us to the leaders and the kids. We're all going through the book of Daniel. And he's talking right now about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what did they say to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, when he said, I'm going to throw you in to that fiery furnace if you don't bow down and worship this image that I have set up. Here's what they said to him. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They said, we believe God can deliver us. We believe God will deliver us. And if he doesn't deliver us now, he'll deliver us at the resurrection. We're going to trust God. May we be like them. Transparency opens your life up to be used as an example and an encouragement to others. Transparency, opening up about your experiences. You go through trouble, be honest. I go through trouble. I struggle. I wish I struggled more because of my identification with the Lord Jesus. I wish I had more pressure on me because I am out there sharing the gospel with boldness and love, the grace of God. I wish I had more pressure on me. We need to be transparent. We need to be trusting God. And finally, as we close, we'll just quickly look at this last verse. The third action of a messenger in trouble is to express thanks to God. The first, expressing thanks for those who help through prayer. This is beautiful. You also helping together in prayer for us. Wow. Reminds me of Ephesians chapter 6. Praying with always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Can I help you? Can I help you with something? Pray for me. That's the best thing we can do. We should do other things too. Pray for one another. Multiple prayer warriors agreeing together. Express thanks for those who help through prayer. Secondly, express thanks on behalf of those who are helped through prayer. That's what Paul says, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf. That they can thank God for what God did in our lives. And you know, when you invest in someone's life in prayer, you're more joyful, you're more thankful, you're quicker to express appreciation to God when God works in that situation. Express thanks on behalf of those who are helped through prayer. Lord, thank you for doing this for Paul. Thank you for delivering them. Be one of the many who trust God, the many who invest through prayer, the many, many who demonstrate their care through prayer, and finally, express thanks for the gift granted in response to prayer. Paul calls it a gift. He said, I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it by being an apostle. No, it was the gift of God, his grace. And we thank him for his gifts. Might we be careful not to allow trouble or deliverance from trouble to distract us from thanking God. Kim was reading a story from a Bible storybook to our grandsons. And it was the one about the 10 lepers who were healed. You remember that? And one of them came back. The 9 were so distracted by their deliverance that they forgot to say thank you. The trouble can distract us. The deliverance can distract us. Be careful. Messengers in trouble. We should expect comfort from God. We should exercise faith in God. We should express thanks to God. And when you carry and communicate God's message, trouble will find you. What trouble are you encountering because you are a messenger of Jesus Christ by the will of God? I want to encourage you to choose at least one of these three actions to meditate on and to seek to implement this week. I'm going to close in prayer. Rhonda's going to play just a verse as we close, in a time of meditation, a time of choosing, maybe a time of committing ourselves anew to being a messenger that experiences difficulty because of our identification with the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us come together this morning. Father, we want to thank you right now for the trouble that we are going to experience this week because we are going to be messengers for the Lord Jesus. We're going to identify with Him. We're going to boldly speak His name. We're going to exhibit His love and His comfort, His compassion, His care, His grace, His desire to deliver and to save. Father, we want to do that. Help us to do that. Help us to see opportunities. Help us to take the opportunities. Father, help us not to be embarrassed, not to be ashamed, but to speak for the Lord Jesus out of our own experience. And Father, when we go into that trouble, when we have the burden, when there's a heavy weight on us, when we're under pressure, when we're suffering, when we're experiencing the pain of rejection or ridicule, may we expect comfort from you. Father, might we exercise faith in you. Might we express our thanks to you. We ask this all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.